He's good all the time.
Amen.
Good all the time, will you?
That's right.
Back in 1 John chapter 5, I believe we left off last week, verse 15. And it says there, and if we know that he heareth whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire to him. And brother, I still believe that's in the context of the scripture right here. I believe he's talking about if we're praying in the Holy Ghost, if we're agreeing with the God of heaven whenever we pray,
yes, sir,
then we can have confidence that he hears us and he will answer that prayer. And I still believe that to be true.
Yes, sir.
But I do want to take just a second and thank the Lord for... I'm not a name it and claim it person. I don't think that if I pray to God or ask God for something that he's bound and determined he's got to do it.
Right.
But I want to thank God for just being good to me this week.
Amen.
And brethren, sometimes he says we have not because we ask not. But you know, it's really extra special to me sometimes when I don't even have to ask.
Amen.
And he just knows the desires of my heart. And I know this ain't got nothing to do with spiritual life. But it's a blessing from the Lord, and I thank him for it. I'd been working on a field out there, Brother Joel.
Uh-huh.
And I about worked myself to death the other day manually seeding this field. And I wanted to put some fertilizer out on it, and a couple hundred pounds, and I said, it sure would be nice to have a spreader to go behind my tractor. I looked around, and the cheapest used one I could find, brother, was a $500. And I said, I just ain't got that to spend on that. I'm not going to do it. I guess it's just going to be, I'll earn it by the sweat of my brow.
Yeah.
Worked third shift last night and the night before. And got off work. And brother, ain't nobody in their right mind done work third shift want to go out and look at a yard sale. But the wife asked if I'd go with her to look at a yard sale.
Yeah.
I said, sure. And we rode around. And brother, we rode to the last yard sale we was going to. We was on the way home and we passed a little sign that I had seen. And I said, well, just go on down there.
Uh-huh.
And we pulled up. And the first words out of Heather's mouth that said, I ain't ever going to buy anything out of that place. And lo and behold, she's looking at some little wreaths or something. It wasn't quite as bad as she thought it was. It looked pretty rough. And there sitting at a tree right beside our vehicle was a spreader.
Yeah.
And it needed some work. Brother, I asked the lady if it was for sale. She said, oh, yeah. I said, well, you have to have for it. She said,
$50.
Yeah. I said, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I said, thank you, Lord. I'll be back in just a little bit and go get the truck. And I looked at it yesterday, and I looked at it this morning when I got off work this morning again. I just walked out there and looked at it, and I said, well, you know what? I need one part. Well, two parts. I need two parts to make this thing whole,
uh-huh,
for it to work just like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And, brother, for less than, it's going to be about $30 more, and I'm going to have exactly what I asked for. I didn't even have to ask the Lord for it.
Yeah.
But he supplied my need and supplied my wants, and I thank him for that today. That's a blessing to me, and I sure appreciate every spiritual blessing that he gives me, but I appreciate it when he drops something in my lap like that too and helps me. And I got to looking at that thing this morning, and the tears just started rolling down my face before I even walked in the house. I said, it's a pleasure and an honor to serve such a wonderful God that he would supply my every need. And I thank him for it. I think it's right to give him thanks and praise for that. Can't even see now. He said in verse 16, he said, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he said, if he see a brother, Brother Danny, that means that if you see a saved person, somebody you got faith in, you can see evidence in their life, somebody's been born again. He said, if you see them sin a sin, he said, we shall ask and he shall give him life for that sin, not unto death. Brother, brother. I got to thinking about that this week. And I've been in a lot of meetings, and I've heard a lot of people say, I'd never do that. Brother Danny, I've said it myself. I'd never do that. By the help and the grace of God, I don't say that anymore. Because most of the time you're going to be tested with it. That next week, and sometimes I fail, and sometimes the Lord gives me grace, and I walk on through it. But, brother, we're none of us is above a fall.
That's right,
not a one of us.
Right.
He said, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, a brother, a believer,
yep.
He said, we shall ask. Brother Danny, he didn't say anything about going gossiping about him. He didn't say anything about running him down.
That's right.
He didn't even say to tell anybody else so they could pray for him. He just said, if you see it, pray for him, ask. And he shall give him life for that sin, not unto death.
Amen.
Pray that that man will get his sin confessed. Brother Danny, I don't believe that any man that's ever been born again, if he's a true believer, he can fall. He will probably fall.
Yeah.
He's going to fall short of perfection.
Yes, sir.
Going to.
Yes, sir.
It might not be a big fall like some people say, some people think, but he will fall into some sin.
Yes, sir.
But brother, if he's a true believer, he's going to get back up. And he's not going to live in that. But as I was thinking about this and praying about it this week, I said, Lord, what does he mean there? And he shall give him life. And brother, I got to thinking back about a time in my life where I got into sin. And surely, I was felt conviction for my sin. And I prayed to ask the Lord to forgive me.
Yes.
And brother, I believe if you ask in a contrite spirit, I believe if you're repenting, that God will forgive you that sin, right?
Yes, sir.
Brother, the guilt didn't leave that day. And that was on me.
Right.
And I believe this is why he wants you to pray for them people. And he said, give him life. And I believe that means your full life. I think of David when he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I remember times in my life where I've done things and surely the Lord forgave me when I repented of that sin. But brother, sometimes it takes a while to get that joy back. And sometimes it takes a while for you to get rid of that guilt.
Yes, sir.
Brother Joel, sometimes you got to learn to forgive yourself.
Yes, you do.
There's a many a time that I've carried around shame for stuff that long had been forgiven and forgotten.
That's right.
But I still carried it around.
Yes,
sir. And God don't want us to live that way.
Right.
It's hard to be used for God whenever you're living down all the time. It's hard to be used in the church whenever you're living with that past guilt on you.
Yes.
But he says here to pray, he said to ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. And we're praying that God would give them grace. God grant them repentance. God give them peace in their heart. And God restore the joy of their salvation back to them. That word life there takes the meaning of fullness of life. Takes the meaning of a full fellowship. In my mind, that's a life that's once again devoted wholly to Christ. Brother Danny, it's easy to get to Mully Grubbs.
Yeah.
It's easy to get down. It's easy to get defeated. But brethren, there's victory in Jesus Christ this morning. And if you're a believer, if you've truly been born again, and God saved you, you've been forgiven of sin, you have eternal life right now.
Right.
You have all the fullness of salvation right now. We don't have to wait, Brother Keith, we don't have to wait till we die to receive salvation, to receive eternal life. We have it living in us right now.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ give us life.
Yes, sir.
We ought not all walk around like we're dead. We ought to live a full life, a rich life in Him.
Yes.
Galatians 6, verse 1, he said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Mm-hmm. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted."
Yes.
He said, in the spirit of meekness.
Yes.
Not haughty, not prideful.
Yes.
Brother Danny, not saying, "I'll never do that," or... If the man's born again, the Holy Spirit's working on the inside. He's already condemning him. He's already taking him back behind the woodshed. He's already giving him that part. You don't need to have no part of that. And I don't need to have no part of that. It's not my place to tell him all he's done wrong. The Holy Spirit's going to do that. But he said, in a spirit of meekness, restore him such a one. He said, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. And then he says, there is a sin unto death. Brother Todd, surely we know that all sin is deserving of death. Adam, when he fell in the garden, he brought death onto the whole human race. Adam, in a state of innocence, never would have died, I don't believe. It would have been no reason for him to. But for sure, as soon as he took that and sinned that sin, whatever that was, whenever he took that sin into him, he died unto God. And there had to be a sacrifice for that. And every sin still requires a sacrifice. And every sin surely is still deserving of death. And Jesus Christ came and died that we wouldn't have to forever, eternally die. We could be saved from that eternal death. But he says here, there is a sin unto death. And brother, I think a lot of times we think of brother, I know me, I know who I was. I don't know what your past is. I don't know what any of y'all's past is. But I know me, and I know what was in my heart. And a lot of times people categorize sin according to what they think's wrong.
Right.
People think of murder. People think of adultery. People think of all these things that are in the Bible, and surely they are sin. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He said, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." If that's the way you're living, if that's the life that you live day in, day out, he says, you ain't going to heaven. He said, you'll never see the kingdom of God. But then he said, and such were some of you. Brother Joel, I was looking at that this morning again. And he said, effeminate. He said, abusers themselves with mankind. It looks to me like there was some pretty bad sin that was going on here had been in the Corinthian church or those people there at Corinth. But he said, and such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so we know we all sin, and God's willing and able to forgive sin. But in Matthew 12, verse 31, he said, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And he says here, there is a sin unto death. But he's talking, oh, if you look in Matthew, in chapter 12, he's talking to a bunch of Pharisees here that had just seen him take a blind man that was dumb and full of devils, and he cast out the devils, and he made him to be able to speak again. He could see again. And they said in another scripture, we know you're a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles except God be with him. But there they said, he does this under the power of Beelzebub. And they said they accounted that to God, to the glory that should have went to God, they give it to the devil. And God, Jesus Christ, right there told them that that sin wasn't going to be forgiven. God knew their hearts. He said, there is a sin unto death. And brother, there won't be not a one child of God that's ever going to sin that sin. I don't believe. For how could they? If the Holy Ghost is living inside of them. Go against the Holy Ghost. But he says here, he says, I do not say that he shall pray for it. He says, I do not say that he shall pray for it. He ain't saying you can't pray for it. But he said that it ain't going to change nothing. I was looking this morning. I had flipped over into Jeremiah. And in verse 7. The Lord was talking to Jeremiah here, and he said in verse 16, see, therefore pray not for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me for them, for I will not hear thee. And I believe that's what he's saying here. I do not say that you should pray for it. He says, you can pray, but I ain't going to answer that prayer. He said, they done sin this sin. You just wasting your breath here. But then he said in verse 17, he said, all unrighteousness is sin. Brother Keith, we know all means all. The word unrighteousness is pretty much any violation of the law of God. It's just missing the mark. It's sin. He says all unrighteousness is sin. Don't matter what it is. Caleb has gotten into a bad habit here lately. He does this mess where he'll fake cry to try to get somebody into trouble. Brother, that's a lie. It's a lie, and it's sin. And he don't see it that way. In his mind. He's starting to though. But it doesn't matter what it is. It says all unrighteousness is sin. And sure, he's named off a bunch of sins and terrible things. But brother, jealousy in my heart is sin.
Yes.
Using my tongue to run someone down is sin.
Right.
A bad thought is sin.
Yes,
a lie surely is a sin. Taking something that's not yours is sin. You don't have to be a drunkard out on the street. You don't have to be Otis Campbell in the jail cell. You don't have to be a murderer on death row. All unrighteousness is sin. Every bit of it. Jesus Christ was perfect mark. And if you can't attain to His righteousness, then you're sinning. That's it. 1 John 3, verse 4, he said, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." He says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And I believe he said that right there just because he just told these people there is a sin that's unto death. But now he's going back and saying, well, you know what? Everything that's transgression of the law is sin. But not all of it is a sin unto death. He's just reiterating here, there is forgiveness of sin. Verse 18, he says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He said, we know that. We know that everyone that's ever been born again, everyone that's ever been born of God, they don't live in sin. Did I sin yesterday, Brother Joel? Yes, I did. I sinned yesterday. But I don't live in that sin. That's not my constant way of life. And whenever there is a sin, then there's conviction in my heart for it. And thank the Lord that He gives me repentance. That's in a believer. Whenever God saves you, He puts that in you. I don't want anything between me and the Father. I don't want anything between me and my brother. But I surely don't want anything between me and my Father. He says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, those people that's been born of God, those people that's been born again, those ones that's been regenerated, made to walk in newness of life, they got the Holy Ghost living in them. And He's going to convict you. Not only is He going to convict you whenever you do sin, but He's going to lead and guide you and help you with that temptation and make a way of escape so that you're not living in that sin. He says here, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. That word keepeth means to guard. Brother Keith, is he saying here that everyone that's begotten of God can keep himself? I can't keep myself in this way. But I can guard against those things that's attacking my mind. I was thinking this morning, I was listening to some music, and Brother Joel, I'd say about 95% of everything I listen to is it's good psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. But I do like a little bit of bluegrass music every once in a while. I like just the music. I do. But Brother Keith, I got to guard myself. And you might not have that problem. But a little bit of bluegrass music leads to a lot more bluegrass music to me, if I'll let it. And then the next thing I know, I'm not just listening to the music, I'm hearing the words that's going along with it. And it ain't all edifying. And anything that gets me away from God, and I'm not saying that's a sin to you for anything, but if it gets me away from God, then it's not edifying to me. And so I have to guard against that. It's just like college football. Is watching a college football game sin? No. But I can get wrapped up in it. I think I watched 3 of them yesterday. I have a problem with self-control. I slept through most of them, but they were on. But he says here that he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Brother Todd, you know what your battle is. You might have a different battle than what I got. We all got the same temptations. But what really bothers you might not really bother me. Sure, I'm going to be faced with it. And Brother Keith, you might be the same way. You might be something that's a little different. But you're going to have to know what you're going to have to guard against. And he ain't saying there that we're keeping ourselves. I'm kept in the hand of God by God. I'm not keeping myself. Robert Parker will never keep Robert Parker. If it was up to me to keep myself, I'd be in hell today.
Right.
But I can guard. Real Joel James 1:27 says, pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the helpless or the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And that's where most people lay off on that verse. But he says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted. There shouldn't be anything on me that looks like what this world has. That garment, that new garment that God gave you at salvation, you shouldn't go wallow around in the filth and the mud. You ought not run right back to the hog pen and look just like you did beforehand. And you won't. The Spirit of God is what keeps us. But brother, he tells us in one place to put on the whole armor of God. Why do we do that? He said, wherefore we stand against the wiles of the devil. First Corinthians 10, verse 12, he said, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand taketh heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It looks pretty bleak on our end of it, if you're just looking at man's side of it. He said, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And Brother Joel, I've looked back in times. Sometimes I've took that way and sometimes I ain't. Sometimes you don't see it when you're in the midst of it because you ain't looking for it. I told you I was listening to you this morning. You was up at Brother Newsom's and you was talking about willful sin and how that everyone that if you've sinned, you've sinned willfully. And Brother, God gives me grace. And if I'm living in Him, there is a way for me to get out of that. There is a way. But I choose to go that way in this flesh. I believe it's also in 1 Corinthians, he said a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. My wife does some baking. She don't use a whole lot of yeast, but I know a little bit about it. I know if you get a little too much in there, she's going to swell up on you more than you can suspect. Yeah. You don't have to put but just a little bit. And that bread's going to rise. And it's the same way with sin in your life. It don't take but just a little bit. And once you put it in, it's awful hard to get it out. It's in there. And it's done contaminated every bit of it. And like I said, I can't keep myself, but I can guard against sin. I can put on the helmet of salvation. I can hold the shield of faith. I can have the breastplate of righteousness. I can do what God says for me to do, and God will make a way of escape when I'm living in Him. And you and I both got to realize that just a little bit of sin leads to more sin. I'm not talking about habitual, just day in, day out, you're living in sin. Brother Todd, you let just a little sin in and you wait and see. You'll be further away from God than you were a week ago. I promise you. You give it a week and not get it right, and it's going to get bad. And it's going to take you a while to get back to that place that you was at. It'll grow. I was thinking last night about a splinter. You talk about a splinter. Sometimes you can't even see him. But you don't do nothing to that thing and you let it fester. And she's going to get sore. And you let it go bad enough and then it's going to get infected. And then you got yourself a mess. If you get it out right whenever it first goes in, that's one thing. But you just let it hang around and it's going to be a mess. He says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not. Brother Keith, that don't mean that Satan ain't ever going to tempt you or put a temptation in front of you. Was it Paul that said the devil desired to have him and sift him as wheat? Was it Peter? Peter. I don't mean he ain't going to buffet you. That don't mean that you ain't ever going to have no trouble out of him. My brother, I said it this morning, you think of Job. And not a thing touched Job that God did not allow. And Brother Todd, there's been times when there's been things come my way and I didn't like it. And I wondered when I was in it, why in the world I was going through it. But brother, you think you don't see a small light unless it's dark. But you can have a little light, and when it's dark, you put it in a dark room, it'll light the whole place. And you know, there's some times that you're going to have to go through some dark times. And it ain't enjoyable for you. But God's getting glory out of it. And somebody's going to see something in your life through it. And it ain't that you'll never go through any troubles and temptations. What does he say? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We must not be living too godly because we ain't suffering a whole lot of persecution. But he said it's coming. He said you will have troubles. You will have tribulations. It's going to be there. But here he says that wicked one toucheth him not. That don't mean that Satan ain't ever going to be there. But the word toucheth there, it takes the meaning of attaching oneself to. It's almost like a sensual relationship. It's not going to be a fellowship. And those that's been born of God ain't going to fellowship with this world and the things of this world. It's just not going to happen. And surely I've got loved ones in this world that don't know God, and I'm not saying you can't have no fellowship with your family. But there ain't fellowship like there is with me and you, brethren. I'm not going to spend more time with them than I am with y'all or with God. Because if you do, then you're just taking that leaven into yourself. And surely I'm not going to have any fellowship with the devil and the things of this world. In Ephesians 5, verse 11, he said, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And brethren, there is a time when you will have to take a stand. There are some things that you just ain't going to be able to tolerate. And there's some things I ain't going to be able to tolerate. But brother, I can love a sinner and not love the sin he's committing. I can still love and pray for my brethren. I can still love and pray for those people that I go to work with. Don't have to like everything they do. But he says, "And that wicked one toucheth him not." And I'm not going to be in fellowship with him. Lord help us. Verse 19, and he says, "And we know that we are of God." We can have assurance there. It says, "We know that we are the children of God." It says, "We know that we are of God." Brother Todd, we can know for sure. Uncle Robert used to say 140%. You can know that you've been born again. How can you know? You got evidence in your life. If you've ever been born again, you will have fruit of the Spirit. Fruits. It's not just one fruit. You will have fruits. But not only that, you got the Holy Ghost on the inside. You got that witness. I got fellowship with my Father. I know He hears me. And yes, there are some times when I get down to my prayer place and it seems like I'm talking to the ceiling. But there's other times when the heaven gates open up and He floods my soul. And sometimes you're just better off keeping your mouth shut and just listening. But brother, you can tell, you can know. You don't have to go through life wondering and worrying. He says here, "And we know that we are of God." We are of God. We are the children of God. We've been born of God. And he said, "And the whole world lieth in wickedness." The whole, the entirety of it, all of it, every bit of it. Brother Keith, that takes the meaning of everyone that's not been born of God. Yeah. Every one of them. It says, "And the whole world lieth in wickedness." It says, "Lieth." That goes back. It's almost a sensual relationship. Yep. It's that fellowship. The whole world is in subjection to the devil. They're under his control, bound in sin. Brother Joel, I think back to when I was lost and how that I was not knowing I was bound, but I was bound in sin. What does that mean, be bound? You can't get out. I didn't cuss here, but I cussed when I wasn't here. Tried to quit. Brother Todd, I couldn't. There was other things I did that I wanted to quit. I knew it was wrong. And we especially knew it was wrong when God started dealing with me. And I tried to quit. But you can't change what you are. Only God can. And that goes for a saint and a sinner. You won't change until God puts it in you to change. A lot of that takes place right at salvation. It does. But there's some things you ain't going to know till God gives you light on. He says, and we know that we are God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come. Who is that? Jesus Christ. He's came. Brother Joel, he came down from heaven. Came to take away my sin. Came away to take away your sin. Came to live and die a sinless life. Come to pay a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. Give up everything. God took on the form of a man.
Yeah.
He says, and we know that the Son of God has come. And it says, and he hath given us an understanding. And that's an understanding of spiritual things. Those things that I never could make any heads or tails out of whenever I was lost. I was in church my whole life. And some of you were. But those things just don't make sense. Before you've been born again. I mean, sure, you can have a head knowledge of it. But you'll work and worry yourself to death trying to make it make sense. Or to even try to live it. You can't do it. He says he giveth an understanding. Not only did he give me an understanding of spiritual things, but he also gave me an understanding of who Jesus Christ was. And he gave me an understanding of the Scriptures. That book that just used to be a bunch of words on a piece of paper now comes to life every time you read it. You have the author living in you. Can lead and guide you in all truths. He says, and he hath given him an given us an understanding. In Luke 24, verse 45, he said, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. They couldn't understand it before. Jesus Christ, it wasn't they were reading the Bible. Jesus Christ was standing in front of them, telling them the Scriptures, and they didn't understand it until he opened up their eyes and let them see it. And that's the same thing he has to do for you and me. He says that we may know him that is true. That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. That word true means real or genuine. I'm out of time. But in John 17, verse 2, he says, and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He said, we may know him that is true. Jesus Christ, the only true God. And that we're in him that is true. We're in Jesus Christ. It says, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the true God and eternal life. Who is that? Jesus Christ is. Jesus is. Not only the Son of God, he is God. One and the same. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, they all are God. It says, and we are in him that is true, even in his son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Who is Jesus Christ is. First John 5:11, he says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. And he that hath the son hath life, and he that hath not the son of God hath not life. He said, this is the true God and eternal life. If you're going to know God, life, if you're going to have life, you're going to have to know Jesus Christ. He says, little children, keep yourself from idols. Oh, why did he say that? Just he showed you who Jesus Christ is. He showed you who the true God was. He showed you who you ought to be worshiping. And he said, don't worship nothing else. Don't put nobody else or nothing else above him. And then he followed up and said, amen. Yes. So be it.